I listen to you and you get online. Every chance I have, I get online. The stories that inspire me and show me how great life can be. Good News Broadcast.com. People say that life can bring you down. They don't know the secret that I found. Oh, when I'm feeling sad and blue, I get on my dear Good News Broadcast.com.
Hey, Barry, hi, how are you? All right, today's Thursday, the 28th. Welcome, everybody, how are you? Okay, we're still dealing with a lot of concerns, and we're going to try to share some of the nice good news and people doing good things in the world. And we have a great show today, I'll say, with starting off with a therapist. The therapist is a horse who goes into hospital rooms, into senior citizen residencies, and spreads happiness and joy. So that's good news, no doubt about it. Then we're going to go to an optometrist who talks about this time and how to deal with virtually, maybe to begin with, your eyes if you have a problem and concern. Then we go to teledentistry during a pandemic, and especially for areas that don't have dentists so conveniently. But now utilizing the new technologies, it's all good. And we'll start off with a not everything is canceled kind of piece of good thoughts. It's a prayer in essence. Can he say anything? Okay, here we go. So let's go to that nice prayer that I wanted to share, because it's a good one. And this is why it's a good one. See, everything is canceled. No. Oh, not everything is canceled. Really? Okay, yes. Sun is not canceled. Spring is not canceled. Relationships are not canceled. Love is not canceled. Reading is not canceled. Devotion is not canceled. Music is not canceled. Imagination is not canceled. Kindness is not canceled. Conversations are not canceled. And hope is not canceled. Okay, so we got a big hit list here of non-canceled concerns and happinesses. So let's put ourselves in a good, positive mindset, mm-hmm. and move our lives forwards. And I once again offer my interfaith spiritual ministry experience. I'm ordained worldwide to conduct any type of virtual ceremony that I can, or just give me a call if you need someone to talk to. 212-647-1212. Let me mention also, actually, I did a bunch of weddings out here. It's a nice place. So here's a little place out there in Montauk, in the famous Montauk Manor. The pool's not open yet. A couple things aren't open, but I have a beautiful place. And if anybody's looking for a place to get away to for the summer, just let me know, and we can talk about it. All right. A lot of good stuff. Let's go right to the therapist. We all need a therapist at times. This was submitted by my good friend Ellen Gaelic. And here we go. This unusual therapist is bringing joy to patients. The most unusual way. Peyo's a 14-year-old stallion, living a normal horse's life. Just like any other horse, he loves to run and play. But one thing separates him from most horses. He's an incredible attitude towards humans, especially those who are sick. 2 times a month, he visits hospitals and residential homes. He helps boost morale. Brings smiles to those who need it most. Peo will be a fury in the meadow. But in here he behaves with the zenith of a Buddhist monk. one forces Peo to go anywhere. Decides himself which rooms he wants to go in. He seems to have a sixth sense where he's needed most. This man is dying. So sorry. With little time left. And with issues communicating. When Peo went into his room, they had an immediate connection. The doctors were in awe. When they saw this man glow in this way, they never had before. But accept that everything doesn't have to have an explanation. Such is life. Care home staff say the visits have an extraordinary positive effect on the residents. Peo's handler, Hassan, is always with him as they go around, improving everyone's mood and general well-being. Share to honor this very special horse. Oh, that's a great one, huh? Yeah. All right, positive, life-affirming, thought-provoking news, entertainment, and events. That's us for a long time. Good news broadcast. Well, give it a whole show here. Upbeat, not beat up. Okay. All right, since 1998, July 4th. All right, let's now go to an ophthalmologist and hear some thoughts here about taking care of your eyes during this time. Dr. Mayan Kishet. Thank you, doctor.
That's Boss Actus, Good News Planet. I'm here.
Thank you, Abu, for tuning in. You do such good things.
Kishet's office. We're at an ophthalmologist, optometrist.
Ophthalmologist.
Okay. All right. Hi, doctor. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm okay. Well, I got a little star in my eye, and that's why I'm here. And I'm getting treated very, very well here. I also checked on allergies and preparing. And we wanted to talk about the COVID time now and eyes. And is there any connection? Or what can people be doing or shouldn't be doing and so on and so forth? If you could share. Thank you.
Well, your eyes are mucous membranes, just the way your mouth is and the inner part of your nostrils. So the eyes are a point of entry for viruses and bacteria. The reason that Dr. Fauci is telling us don't rub your eyes, don't touch your face, essentially don't rub your eyes, don't bring any possible germs, viruses, bacteria, whatever, into your face right now, because this is a very contagious virus, and touching a surface that somebody else may have touched, a door handle, an elevator button, and then touching your face could transmit COVID-19 to you. So you want to wash your hands with soap and water anytime you come in from the outside or you touch any surface outside of your home. It's recommended right now not to wear contact lenses, because contact lenses do require touching your eyes and then possibly rubbing your eyes later if the contact is bothering you and becoming infected unnecessarily. So if you have the option of wearing your backup glasses, you see I'm wearing goggles, it's just an extra layer of protection, first of all. It's a shield. Glasses are a shield. But in addition, you avoid touching your eyes. So we recommend doing that. If you do develop any eye symptoms where either the eyes or the eyelids are irritated, you have any discharge from the eyes, redness, feeling like there's something in the eye, even though you don't see anything in the eye, so foreign body sensation, those are all possible signs of conjunctivitis and could also be evidence of COVID-19. But as you know, there are so many symptoms now, we get a new symptom every day, that it's to keep it all straight. But we've seen some people who felt like there's something in the eye, and people with certain kinds of conjunctivitis that did end up testing positive for COVID. So those are the things we look for here.
Okay. And so how, I mean, I guess we don't really know how that virus would go into an eye. I mean, it's an could go in because an eye is an opening into your body.
Yeah, it's an opening into your body. Yeah, exactly. And your tears carry viral antigens and antibodies. We have antibodies in our tear film. But supposedly the virus can last in your tear film for up to 2 weeks after resolution of symptoms. So, yeah, it gets absorbed into the bloodstream through the conjunctiva. Everything is connected in your face, so your tear ducts are connected to your nose and to your pharynx, which is, two modes of entry as well.
What's a pharynx?
Oh, sorry, your throat.
Oh, throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything is connected to everything else.
Eye, ear, and throat. Is that what they always say?
Yep.
Interesting. All right. Is there any kind of, besides goggles, besides the masks, anything else protective that somebody should give some consideration to?
Well, if you are worried that you were exposed, somebody sneezed in your face and you didn't have any protection on, I would immediately just irrigate your face. They're saying Listerine washes. I would probably do, we have, and obviously this isn't something you would have on hand, but there are some sprays that contain hypochlorous acid that have been shown to be effective against some types of viral conjunctivitis. So let's say go to your eye doctor, you can get a prescription for the spray or get a sample of the spray, and that's about all we can do. I guess the most important thing is to protect ourselves so we don't get it in the first place.
And how about virtually? I actually met you virtually.
Yes.
And I thank you very much for that.
Of course.
And I took a photo of my eyes. And then you took a look and, had suggestions. And one of them, based upon Mike's condition, was to come on in and take a look. And you're a hero here in the world for being here for others. So that approach is wise, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, if you can stay at home and see a doctor and not have to go out and possibly risk, touching that elevator button or that subway pole or whatever, and do this from the safety of your own home, obviously that's ideal. If there's something more urgent, you've lost your vision or have severe eye pain or something that's more urgent, then there is no substitute to come in and see the eye doctor in person. But if it's something a little less severe, then it's best to deal with it over the internet.
Yeah. Okay, the website here is?
It's www.cityimd.com.
And we're here on 58th Street off of Columbus Circle.
Yep.
Area. Let me ask you one other last question. We're about the world peace and the International Day of Peace. And of course, this is not the most peaceful time for many. And how about for you, Doctor? What is peace for you?
What is peace for me? Peace is, waking up in the morning, having the freedom to do what you want, not being worried about yourself or your family or your friends being under attack, and democracy,
Okay. All right. Doctor, thank you so much for sharing the good news with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, all right, so take care of your eyes, and be wise. An unexpected outcome of pandemic, how broader adoption of teledentistry improves access to care. All right, so let's hear now from this doctor about teledentistry. I said, how do they do that? But he's got some thoughts here and some ways to help you with your dental concerns. Sean Bowles.
Paul Plackis, Good News Broadcast. Here's an unexpected outcome of the pandemic. Our teeth. We have Dr. Sean Boynes, Vice President, Health Improvement for the Dental Quest Partnership for Oral Health Advancement. And we're going to talk about teledental? Okay. How do you do teledental?
So it's a different way to reach out and touch someone, right? I think if you think back to the Jetsons, and if people listening don't know that one, just Google it. But you think back to the Jetsons, they actually interacted with their doctor and dentist using television. And so a lot of that is the same. It just took us 60 years to kind of catch up. And it's so true. Really, there's two ways that we're using teledentistry. One is for emergencies, understanding the needs of individuals and if they have an emergent need and how we can get them into the dental office in a safe way with reduced risk acquiring COVID or being exposed to COVID-19. And the other way that we can use teledentistry, which is something we've been doing at DentaQuest for the last several years, is trying to engage individuals in a different way in rural environments, in nursing homes, and assisted living facilities that don't normally have great access, to engage with them in a way that makes their mouth healthier and thus their body healthier.
So are we talking about Zoom? Are we talking about photos? What are we talking about exactly?
We're talking about all the above. There's different forms and different ways to do this, and it really depends on the individual and their dentist and their dental care team. But the way it's happening right now, the majority of the time, is just like Zoom, just like FaceTime, where you get on and you're interacting with a dentist on the other side. Sometimes they'll have you take pictures with your phone and upload those pictures so that they can get a visualization. And other times they may ask you to kind of maneuver your mouth around the camera that you're operating on so that they can look and see if there's a problem or just do a quick assessment of your oral condition. And as I said, we've been doing it for quite some time. It's just COVID has accelerated the need for us to utilize it more.
I'm doing it with my eyes. I had a little infection in my eye, a little sty. And it literally started off as a two-way, back and forth, until the thought was that it'd be best to come in. So it's probably cut down on most of my visits. I take photos and I send it to my eye doctor, like every 3 or 4 days, and she says it's getting better. It's getting better. So that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely, and I think really what we've seen is technology has stepped up during the COVID pandemic and affected medicine, dentistry, behavioral health, affected optometry, like you said, in just different ways that we've been ready for. We just needed the right process in order to exist to do it. And, I think what you talked about is you sent some pictures in and you didn't have to go in as much. We're hearing that on the dental side. In fact, the American Dental Association Health Policy Institute just came out on a webinar and said, up to 40% of individuals using the telehealth for dental care did not need to actually come in for an emergent or urgent appointment. And so that 40% were individuals that may have increased their risk of exposure or gone in at a time they didn't need to.
Tell me a little bit about your practice. Where are you located?
So I actually work for the DentaQuest Partnership for Oral Health Advancement, which is a nonprofit affiliated with DentaQuest, which is the largest benefits organization on the Medicaid side in the country. We are responsible and oversee approximately 30 million of the most vulnerable children and adults that we have in the country. And so really what my job at the DentaQuest Partnership to do is just to find ways to advance and improve healthcare overall and make sure that people are getting healthy outcomes, that they're satisfied with the care that they're receiving, and that we're reducing costs because we do have a healthcare cost crisis. That, existed before COVID and has only been increased since COVID has hit. And so I have the fun job of trying to fix different areas and working with a really skilled set of team to understand, okay, what are the things that not only would a patient or individual want, but how about something that the taxpayer can benefit from?
Wow, that's important. By far. I have to figure that out for myself. I'm on Medicare, but I don't have dental. I have to pay a lot to get a dental program with my health care provider. Is Medicaid and Medicare provided in some way if you utilize them directly as opposed to an administrator?
So it depends on what state. In most states, there's usually an administrator that stands to help process out the payment structure as well as the care structure. Medicaid is mandated to have kids covered, not adults. So it depends on what state is whether or not you can get Medicaid coverage. Medicare actually does not have a dental benefit. Some who have access to the funds and the money can buy these sort of exchange type items with what's called Medicare Advantage plans that provide dental care. But right now, we really think we need to think about a benefit. Well, we know we need to have a benefit in Medicare to really drive home overall health. The two are so connected right now that the fact that Medicare doesn't have a dental benefit is something that even though money is going to get tight, I think the cost savings of having it in Medicare will be important for over the long run. And we're doing a lot of that work at the DentaQuest in order to proliferate, if you will, adult benefit coverage in oral health.
What are some things that people should do that are, you know, now more homebound than ever? I'll be eating more than ever, too. We're homebound. What are some things that they should do to be conscious, more conscious about their teeth at a time like this?
Right. So the main thing you want to drive home is limiting the number of times that you have an acidic mouth or decreasing those pH levels. So every time you eat or every time you sip on soda, the pH in your mouth drops and becomes more acidic. And you have good bacteria and bad bacteria. And the bad bacteria like that kind of environment, so things that kind of help destroy or cause decay of teeth, those are related to those acidic pieces. So it's really limiting the number of those events. So at home, you're probably snacking a little bit more. You're probably grazing, as they say. How do you eliminate those multiple times that you're putting something in your mouth? This is going to help your body overall, but it's also going to decrease the chances of getting oral disease.
So if you, I like that word, grazing. Pretty good, Doc. I like it. I feel like a cow now, but that's good.
it may have been implied a little bit.
I heard that I always seem to always have wanted to do this. I didn't know why. Like every time, if I would go to like a Carvel or these ice cream places, I always felt like I wanted water after it. I don't know why. Why did I want that? Is there any dental reason in the mouth?
Well, I don't know if there's a specific dental reason, but we are exploring why you may crave certain things or want certain things, like why you may want sugar, why you may want some water after that. And it's really because of the sensory mechanisms in your mouth are determining what is the environment of my mouth now that this just happened, and how can I communicate effectively to the rest of my body that I need something because this environment doesn't feel right. I mean, at the end of the day, if you think about it, the human body is a bunch of single cell organisms that got together in the structure, and we communicate pretty effectively throughout our body. And so if you're wanting or needing something like that, it's because the environment is probably saying, hey, you could be a little bit too acidic, or there's a taste that you don't want in your mouth, and the solution is to drink water. So it's just you communicating with yourself.
You can't see a cavity via telemedicine, can you?
Well, it depends on the size of the cavity, obviously. I would say some that are small or ones that may be between the teeth you cannot necessarily see. And that's why teledentistry will never be a complete replacement for going in and seeing the dentist. Although, you know, who knows, in 20, 30 years, we may have robots that sit on our desks and they clean our mouth and take care of things for us. And it's oriented through your laptop or your phone. But right now, you still need that in-person visit. What can be determined at these teledental visits is there a triage need? Are you in pain? Are you not? Is it worth the risk of coming in? And then the other thing is as an engagement tool to talk about your overall health. Are you doing more things that are going to proliferate or increase the number of good bacteria and eliminate or decrease the number of bad bacteria? And if you have a visit like that once a year, we do have a group of clinics in Oregon called Advantage Dental. They're doing that in a lot of their programs, and they're finding that patients who go through that process of education using telehealth, that they're less likely to need an emergency visit. They're less likely to need a filling or an extraction, more likely to get preventive visit and cost the system a lot less, which is good news considering that we're all going to be experiencing budget deficits just as much at the state level as the taxpayer, as well as at home. And so anything that reduces cost is something that I think is well worthwhile.
It's good news. I agree. Dr. Boyce, you know your stuff. You're a good man. Thank you very much for sharing and helping many live their life in a nicer way. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. If anybody wants anything else, dentaquest.com/teledentistry. DentaQuest is all one smooshed together word, and that's our website.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Okay. All right. Teledentistry. All right. That's good. I'll be frank with you. When I started in the television business, and I just added up the years, and it came to more than I thought. In 1972, I had a friend, family friend, Ralph Briscoe was his name. And Ralph was one of the presidents of CBS Television. And he worked in the technology area. And he said to me, this is 72, 48 years ago, two-way communications, medicine. People are going to do surgery here in Manhattan and surgery in Mumbai. Okay, so that's a long time ago. I also did a whole show when I was at Channel 13 in the early 80s on robots. So stuff has been, it's just a question of when it gets accepted. And now we're into much more acceptance than we have been in the past. All right, well, a lot of good stuff here. And I just realized that I didn't prepare for my good friend Claire, who is going to give us a little bit more healthy way to conduct our life. We have a lot of good stuff on here. You know, I don't promote it as much as I should. In fact, I don't promote anything as much as I should. But I plan to, because we have redone our website. We're in the final stages of fixing it and making it look quite spiffy. And here goes Claire. But we showed this little part here about the tongue at fire point. I would like to show another part.
Brain pose. It's real important to make sure that the knee stays slightly in front of the ankle. But also, as we raise our arms one at a time, say that one arm only comes partway up. So if one arm just comes partway up because you have a shoulder situation that's healing, make sure that the other arm comes that high too. So you're not bringing one arm partway up and the other arm all the way up. This will create imbalance in your spine, and you do not want this. So that's very important. Maintain balance on the right and left sides of your body. Also, there's many poses that we are on our hands. And if you have a wrist situation for the moment, it will get better. But right now, if you have a wrist situation, you have a couple choices, and that's to either be on your forearms with the elbows beneath the shoulders, or to make gentle fists like this. It's gentle fists. What you don't want to do is have a gentle fist on one hand and then a flat hand with the other, because as you can see, one shoulder then becomes lower than the other. So keep it even, okay, even if it's only just one wrist with the situation. And of course, anything that we're doing, if it doesn't feel right,
remember this.
Don't do it.
Don't do
okay?
it.
Your body will send you messages of comfort and discomfort. So just because there may be a part
you
or
go
a
take these classes
in the sequence of your daily routine, 2 or 3 minutes that you're not able to do, just lie down on your back or rest in child's pose. Find a comfortable place and then go ahead and pursue the rest of the sequence. Don't deny yourself maintaining internal and external balance. So just rest for any of the parts that don't feel right.
This is why I'm crazy about Claire. So, and she was my yoga instructor, and I got certified. But the reason I'm crazy about her is you don't have to do things that you shouldn't be doing. So, you know, you go to these classes, a yoga class in front of a lot of people, and or Pilates or any type of an exercise class. If you can't do something, they suggest first thing is to go and tell the instructor that, you know, my arm's hurting, my this and that. So the instructor knows that. Because, you know, a lot of people do get hurt at certain athletic outreaches. And that's not wise as well. So we're going to take a moment of prayer for those that are hurting right now. Boy. Okay. So join us tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be here and giving some thanks to all the wonderful heroes in our lives, like those doctors and police and public service people and people working in hospitals and people riding bicycles to take their food. And talking about good eyes, this gentleman needs good eyes to survive. And here's an old Indian saying I thought was kind of neat. When I am a man, then I shall be a hunter. When I am a man, then I shall be a harpooner. When I am a man, then I shall be a canoe builder. When I am a man, shall I be a carpenter. When I am a man, then I shall be an artisan. O Father, ya ha ha ha. Guacai Indians, you are loved. Okay, everyone, thank you very much. 7 o'clock tonight. And stay safe, stay smart, and be together with yourself as well as everybody around you. Take care. Thank you.